You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Bears Wire and Pro Football Focus. And Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're getting you ready for Saturday's preseason game against the Denver Broncos, breaking down everything you should be watching for in this game. We'll talk plenty about the Chicago Bears offense and what we want to see from the starters, particularly up front on this offensive line with the whole Cody Whitehair, James Daniels situation. We'll also talk about maybe what you shouldn't expect to see based on what we know of what Matt Nagy does and doesn't want to show this preseason. And then, of course, we'll get to the defense and touch on some of the big names highlighted by Roquan Smith, but also some of the under-the-radar guys that I think we should keep an eye on for potential breakout performances in this preseason game. Let's start with the starting offense, because this is the group that still kind of hasn't shown its full potential up to this point, and I'm not necessarily sure we're going to see its actual full potential during the preseason, but we haven't even gotten much of a taste of what Mitchell Trubisky and company can do. They played a total of 10 snaps against the Cincinnati Bengals, their only real time with the starting offense, and even then, it wasn't a full strength starting offense, and I'm not sure exactly how full strength they'll be on Saturday against the Broncos. But, you know, I think some people are kind of sitting here saying, well, the Chicago Bears need to show everyone that their offense is clicking on all cylinders and kind of alleviate some concerns about how that's going to play out as they go into the regular season. But I find myself pretty firmly disagreeing with that idea, that I don't think we need to see the Chicago Bears offense come out as a true well-oiled machine with the starting lineup in the preseason, just because the preseason is such a not indicator of the regular season success. That, you know, you see teams all the time do bad in the preseason and then do great in the regular season and vice versa, and there's really no real causation and you know, strong correlation between playing well in the preseason or playing poorly in the preseason and then playing well or poorly in the regular season. So as much as it would be nice for the fans and just for entertaining football to see Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky really have this offense click for a nice touchdown drive and, you know, Allen Robinson showing off his size and looking like a number one receiver and, you know, Taylor Gabriel doing some cool speed stuff and Tariq Cohen catching some passes and Trey Burton making plays over the middle and all this stuff that you want to see from the Bears offense. It would be great to see that in a preseason game here, but I don't believe that that's critical to, you know, maybe it'll alleviate outside concerns, but certainly the Bears aren't going to be panicking if their first-team offense never quite puts it together in the preseason, because it is just the preseason. You know, all the things you say, I don't like to call it meaningless football, because there's a lot of meaning that comes out of these preseason games, but I just don't think from a team-wide standpoint, there's a lot that translates as far as quality of performance from the preseason to the regular season. So even if we don't see Mitch and, you know, the offense really take command and drive down and defeat a defense, it's just not something that I'm going to lose any sleep over. On a more individual level, you know, that's where you want to see the development and the progress and things start to click there. You know, for Mitchell Trubisky, you want to see, you know, footwork and mechanics and accurate throws and receivers. You don't want to see drop passes. You want to see separation. I mean, individually, you want to see all this stuff. And I'm not concerned about too much of that when it comes to this starting offense. The only thing that raises a red flag still with this offense is the center position and this inside offensive line. We've talked about it a little bit recently on the podcast, but that's what I'm going to be really watching this week, is the snapping of the ball. That even at the joint practices with the Denver Broncos, that was reportedly still an issue. And, you know, Cody Whitehair maybe isn't as natural of a snapper. And I think we saw occasional issues with that last year, although it wasn't as much of a big deal during his rookie year. So I kind of go back and forth on exactly how much of a long-term concern that is for him. But, you know, when you have James Daniels, who is a natural center who played at that position for most of his college career, I mean, there's certainly a lot of sense behind putting James Daniels as your starting center and moving Cody Whitehair to left guard. But Matt Nagy doesn't seem to be interested in moving Cody Whitehair at this point. We'll see how that's going to play out, what the coaches end up deciding. But I think this preseason game will go a long way toward either kind of confirming this is a real concern or maybe alleviating some of the worry for Bears fans for this offensive line. You know, the blocking itself isn't an issue for the most part with these guys. I mean, you know what you're getting with Cody Whitehair and James Daniels, and it would seem that either one should be pretty capable of blocking at a high level at the left guard position versus the center. But let's see how those shotgun snaps for Cody Whitehair go, because it's an overlooked part of the offense, but it's a critical exchange that the ball is on time and where it needs to be so the quarterback can be in rhythm. It doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to take his eyes off of the secondary. It doesn't disrupt his footwork and his timing with the ball. You know, with those receivers, he's expecting the receiver to make his break on a route at a certain time, and the quarterback needs to be at a certain point in his drop when the receivers make their breaks on the route. And so if the ball and the snap comes in, you know, a little bit high or a little bit low, and then the quarterback has to reach for it and disrupt his natural drop back, then it throws off the timing with the receivers, and it can really kind of throw a little bit of a wrench and just make your whole offense work that much less efficiently. So I think you're going to see a lot of Twitter analysis, you know, even from the beat writers, on how these snaps are coming and how that might potentially affect the Bears' offense moving forward. Coming up next on Locked On Bears, we'll touch on what not to expect from the Bears' offense in this game and perhaps through the rest of the preseason. And then, of course, we'll get to the defense and start with the biggest name everyone will be watching, Roquan Smith. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. Today on Locked On Bears, we're breaking down what to watch for in the Bears' third preseason game on Saturday against the Denver Broncos. We're rolling through the offense right now, and I want to touch on what not to expect, because I think we're going to see Matt Nagy continue to be a little bit extra cautious with not wanting to show his hand too much here with how the Bears' offense is going to look in the regular season. And, you know, we've started to see through these two preseason games, you know, some of the more staple plays, and even when those are creative and certainly a welcome, a sight for sore eyes from last year's offense, the RPOs, the empty backfield, some of the spread looks and, you know, the fun stuff, those are sort of the base versions of those that we've seen Matt Nagy kind of roll out here in the preseason games. But clearly we're not seeing him get too creative, and we're not seeing him go all out, and we're not going to. But even more specifically, I think we're going to see specific players on offense limited in how they're used and even how much they're used. I mean, we even look back to these first two preseason games. We have not seen Jordan Howard yet in the preseason. And for Tariq Cohen, he's been on the field for exactly one snap. He's on the first snap of the game, and that was it. And I'm not anticipating that we're going to see a ton of either of those running backs moving forward. And, you know, when we do see Tariq Cohen on the field, I don't think we're going to see a lot of wide receiver. I don't think we're going to see a lot of motion. I think we're going to see him take handoffs out of the backfield and be a pretty bland, boring running back in terms of how he's used. You know, he's still an explosive runner and an athlete and a playmaker with the ball in his hands. So we could see some, you know, fun plays just in terms of what he's able to do, but that's nothing that opposing defenses didn't already know. I mean, that's just inherent with his skill set. But I don't think we're going to see much creativity with Tariq Cohen. I don't think we're going to see much new with Jordan Howard. And then I don't think we're going to see a ton of Anthony Miller doing that much. He's been sort of the standout of training camp, a guy that fans and media in attendance at practice continually rave about for his hands and his route running and all these things that you want to hear about your rookie wide receiver. And I think kind of like we saw last year with Tariq Cohen, like we talked about on the last episode of Locked On Bears in our crossover with the Locked On Broncos podcast. I think we're going to see Anthony Miller held back a little bit, and like Tariq Cohen last year, just not unveiling too much of what's in store for him. I think he's going to be a pretty important slot and movable weapon for this offense this year, and I don't think we're going to see Matt Nagy do much besides let him run some standard routes and maybe catch another pass or two, but overall, keeping Anthony Miller behind wraps, or keeping Anthony Miller under wraps, excuse me, and I'd like to throw Trey Burton in the same category. You know, we saw him make one catch in the game against the Bengals, and, you know, more or less standard what you would expect for Trey Burton, a little bit in the slot, you know, a lot of wing tight end, but not a lot of creativity in terms of the route combinations and scheming him to get open and to get certain matchups against certain defenders the way you're going to see this offense in the regular season. And just more generally, you're going to see more tight end involvement as far as getting multiple tight ends on the field and creating those types of mismatches, not only for Trey Burton, but also using the tight ends to then get better matchups for Tariq Cohen or Taylor Gabriel or Allen Robinson, and finding different ways to just utilize your personnel on the field. I don't think we're going to see much of that at all against the Broncos or in this preseason, which again will limit this offense's ability from really clicking and looking as smooth and sharp as it will this regular season, which is why I'm not overly expecting this offense to look like a well-oiled machine, and why I'm not particularly concerned if and when that doesn't happen. The defense is a little bit of a different story because all the same pieces from last year are coming together. I mean, besides the defensive end spot, you got pretty much your entire starting lineup back, and then you throw Roquan Smith in there, inside linebacker, and that's pretty much it for your changes. So you want to start to see a little bit more consistency from this starting group. And again, against the Cincinnati Bengals, we didn't really get to see a super full strength starting group. I mean, in addition to Roquan not being out there, which isn't necessarily part of the starting group, no Prince Amukamara in that game. And so Marcus Cooper was a little bit of a liability. And then, you know, Danny Trevathan not playing, Aaron Lynch, I guess, not playing, if he can even be considered part of this, you know, first team defense anymore. I'm not so sure, but, you know, we haven't seen this Bears defense really full go, and we might not even in this game against the Broncos, but you still want to see, you know, once you're as healthy as you can be, see how well these guys are truly clicking together when you've got the starters in there, the guys who've been working together not only all offseason but all of last season as well. That's where, it just from a team standpoint, you want to see everything come together. And then individually, all eyes on Roquan Smith in this game. I know Matt Nagy was, you know, dancing around it a little bit and hesitant to kind of confirm that Roquan Smith is going to play, and certainly not committing to him for week one or anything, but we're going to see Roquan Smith on the field. He's missed 3 weeks. He missed the entire training camp, the first two preseason games. I know there's still three preseason games left. Like we talked about earlier this week, not overly concerned about him as far as having enough time to get up to speed. I think there is enough time, but going to see him in this game. And, you know, if Danny Trevathan isn't good enough, healthy enough to go, then maybe Roquan Smith is a quote-unquote starter in this game. Although I think it'd send an interesting message if they still started the game with Nick Kwiatkowski and John Timu as your quote-unquote starters, because Roquan Smith still has to earn his starting job, and he is still a backup. And if he is out there mostly with the backups, then he needs to more or less dominate. And, you know, that doesn't mean 10 tackles and 3 sacks and 2 picks and a forced fumble, but it does mean clearly looking like a man against boys. You know, a man against boys. It's showing off that physical speed, that strength, the instincts, the whole package that got him drafted 8th overall. He's going to be playing against undrafted free agents, veterans off the street, you know, receivers that are going to get cut, tight ends that are going to get cut, certainly offensive linemen that shouldn't see the light of day, and quarterbacks, you know, Chad Kelly and Paxton Lynch. Neither one of those are giving the Broncos a ton of confidence behind Case Keenum. So you should see Roquan Smith dominate. That should be the expectation. And if he checks that box, great. And if he does play really well, then you're probably going to see some overreaction. You know, that, oh, wow, look at how great Roquan Smith is. He should be starting. Sorry, Nick Kwiatkowski, go to the bench. But again, remembering that he's playing against backups, setting the expectation as dominating, it would take a heck of a performance to go above and beyond and really stand out. So for me, if he plays well, that's just checking the box. And if he doesn't play well, boy, that's raising the red flags. That's time to be a little bit concerned. You know, again, not going to read too much and overreact to one preseason game, but if this is a guy that's been in the playbook, been training and keeping his body up to where it needs to be, let's see that translate. Let's ease the mind of some Bears fans who might still be a little bit concerned about how well he'll hold up and how quickly he'll be ready to go in the starting lineup. That starts with meeting expectations with a strong performance against the backups of the Denver Broncos. Roquan Smith is the obvious one, but coming up next here on Locked On Bears, we'll be breaking down some of the more under-the-radar names that you should keep your eye on in this game. Some guys maybe making a push here for the 53-man roster, or at least making a push to have a job on another team if they don't stick with the Bears. That's next on Locked On Bears. We're previewing Bears-Broncos today on Locked On Bears. We've already been through the offense and, of course, the big name on defense, but let's get to some of the under-the-radar guys here. And the one that I think tops the list for me in this game is cornerback Doron Grant. And I don't know if it's Doron Grant or Doron. It's D-O-R-A-N. If you've been listening to Locked On Bears, you know I don't pretend to be an expert on pronouncing a lot of Bears names. I got Joel E.A. Booneyway down. I got Nick Kwiatkowski down. You know, all the tough ones like that. Prince Amukamara maybe isn't as tough. But, you know, the tough ones, I make an effort to really learn to pronounce. But then I get to a guy like Doron Grant where there's only one or two ways to pronounce it. It's not spelled particularly hard, but just, you never know, Doran, I'm sure during the broadcast I'll hear the announcer say it, and, you know, one of you will probably tweet me and be like, oh yeah, I was a big Ohio State fan, and I know it's Doron, or it's Doran, I don't know. Doron Grant, formerly a fourth-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 2015, again, out of Ohio State, and he's never really been able to stick anywhere in the NFL, but he's been intriguing as a guy that was signed to one of those reserve/future contracts this offseason right at the beginning of the year and spent most of last year on the Bears practice squad. And I think that's kind of what has put him ahead early here, that he basically was with the team all year. He joined the Bears practice squad late September, so you're still talking about, boy, more than three months with Vic Fangio's defense and the playbook and getting to roll through that all through the offseason. So comes into training camp and, you know, one of those names that, you know, you don't know who this is and you have to Google him and all that stuff. But then, of course, Hall of Fame game, makes that interception, made some nice plays against the Cincinnati Bengals as well. And all of a sudden here with Prince Amukamara kind of rotating in and out with injury, Doron Grant has gotten some first team reps with the Bears during their practices. And, you know, not that he's ever going to be in a spot to start or, you know, be that good, but it sure says a lot that he gets those opportunities, you know, over Krevon LeBlanc. And I should say it was Grant and Marcus Cooper that were rotating with the first team, so don't get your hopes up just yet for Marcus Cooper to be on the way out and Grant to replace him. But certainly I it feels like of all of the backup cornerbacks, sort of the no-name guys that you feel like maybe one of them can stick on the roster and have a little bit of a future, Doron Grant, the most experienced of the group, is certainly the early front runner there. You know, they could give those opportunities to Michael Joseph, who they've taken a long look at in the games, or even Kevin Tolliver, who was sort of the early standout of training camp. But no, it's Doron Grant. He's got some experience. He's played in some different defenses, been with, again, Steelers, Bills, Giants, and Jaguars. Not really a lot of true in-game experience, except for his rookie season with the Steelers, if I recall correctly. But let's see how this plays out. You know, maybe this is a guy that can stick as your number six cornerback. I mean, you know, special teams will be a critical part of that decision down there. And, you know, he's a little bit of a smaller cornerback. So, you know, he's got some versatility to play the slot, and maybe they aren't as comfortable with him long term as a, you know, a full on starting outside cornerback. But he's been working on special teams, still probably not up to the standard of a Sherrick McManus, who continues to have a strong preseason in that area. So, you know, we'll see where he stands out. You know, if he can make a couple more plays in coverage in this game, he just continues to push himself forward and endear himself to the coaching staff. And, you know, maybe he comes for Cravon LeBlanc's roster spot. I mean, you never know. I'm a big Cravon LeBlanc guy here. And it does really feel like the top five cornerbacks on this Bears depth chart are more or less set. But Grant is the one of all the no-name guys in this roster that I think could make a play for the 53-man roster. And that all starts with a strong preseason game here again against the Denver Broncos. A couple other guys I'm keeping my eye on here were a pair of guys who really stood out and kind of came out of nowhere again last week against the Bengals. We talked about it in our podcast after that game of what we learned. We'll start with Kasim Edebali, a similar situation to Deron Grant here as an outside linebacker. Another one of those names where I know how to say Kasim Edebali, even though he's got a little bit of a tough name to pronounce there. I got that one down, but Doran rhymes with my name, so I feel like that's wrong, but Kasim Edebali at the outside linebacker position. A guy, again, bouncing around the league, Saints, Broncos, Lions, Rams, back to the Saints, then the Bears this offseason, formerly of a Ryan Pace undrafted rookie free agent when he was with New Orleans, so there's some background there. He's got a few more NFL games under his belt, a little bit more of a journeyman veteran than a no-name guy that's going to, you know, really stand no chance. And again, in this outside linebacker rotation that doesn't have proven pass rushers, taking the guy with 61 career games under his belt and 8 career sacks with 5 in one season back in 2015. I mean, this is a guy who, a latecomer to the team, who can, you know, maybe make a roster spot for himself, especially with Aaron Lynch injured and not really playing at all this training camp or preseason. And Isaiah Irving missed the last preseason game, so Edebali was able to take advantage there. Kylie Fitz, maybe not quite as far along as people were hoping, but he's a sixth-round pick who's a little bit raw anyway. So, you know, there's a real chance, you know, that Kylie Fitz doesn't make this 53-man roster. As much as everybody wants to be excited about him and there's a lot of potential there, he could be a potential practice squad stash. And maybe Kasim Edebali has another strong preseason game, puts a couple more under his belt, and he's that fourth or fifth outside linebacker in the rotation. And you find a nice little diamond in the rough there in, what, June, I think, when the Bears brought him in. So just another guy kind of pushing for that dark horse roster spot. And then on the other side of the ball, jumping back to the offense, Will Precheck, the offensive lineman, the guard, really was just a mauler as a run blocker in the previous game. And it seems like in the NFL now, backup offensive linemen across the board are just undermatched compared to the depth across the league that the defensive line has. But Edebali, like I said, in the running game more so than the passing game, was really just kind of moving guys downfield and creating some space for Taquan Mizell and Ryan Nall. So curious to see if he could kind of keep that up and continue to hold his own in pass protection and not look like too much of a liability there. Of course, we'll be looking at Rashad Coward again, too, who I thought struggled a little bit more against the Cincinnati Bengals, and now this whole offensive line going up against a much stronger group of pass rushers from top to bottom for these Denver Broncos. So I'm anticipating some struggles from, again, Rashad Coward, Bradley Sowell, and Matt McCants, and just kind of these backup offensive tackles in general. It'll be up to the interior guys to maybe hold up a little bit more. And, you know, again, Will Precheck, Earl Watford, the Jordan Morgan experiment doesn't seem to be going anywhere as well for that. So, you know, a lot of guys on this offensive line kind of competing for these backup spots, and maybe it's only one or two spots available, but right now, Will Precheck at least helping himself, even if it's not for a spot on the Bears, but just extending his NFL career as well. But like I said, I don't like to call the preseason meaningless football, because look at all the meaning we just found in this game. So many players to watch for. Appreciate you tuning in to Locked On Bears to get you ready for preseason game number 3. Like I said, Locked On Bears is your source for Chicago Bears news and analysis in your podcast feed. Make sure you're subscribed to keep up with all of the latest and greatest from us. We'll be breaking down everything we learned from the game afterwards for a nice Sunday podcast, but don't worry, it'll last you over till Monday morning if you need it for your commute or whenever it is you listen to the podcast. That's the beauty of the whole thing. It's on demand when you want it. Chicago Bears analysis in your ear. And again, I thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. And there's also the Locked On Bears Facebook page as well. You can give us a like there. And my personal Twitter account for even more Chicago Bears analysis is at Cox Sports 1. It's like Fox Sports 1, but with a C. That's COX Sports and the number 1. Also, one of the best ways you can help the Locked On Bears podcast is just tell your friends, you know, tell your fellow Bears fans. You're sitting around watching this Broncos game and Kasim Adebali has a sack and you're like, oh man, I heard about that guy on Locked On Bears, this really cool podcast with this devilishly handsome podcast host. You should check it out. That's one of the best ways you can help out Locked On Bears and give back for some even better Chicago Bears news and analysis moving forward. I love talking Bears on this podcast, and I love giving you guys a reason to bear down.